Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, the 23rd of September, and the market is flying along today, up 94. We had a bit of a bounce back on Wall Street. It had been down 500 points on Monday, and last night it was up 140. And for some remarkable reason, our futures this morning were up 60, and our market is now up 94. What's leading the market back today are a lot of the technology stocks, basically the WAX stocks, WAAAX stock 0, Y. Tech, Altium, APT, Appen, plus some others flying along today. They were doing okay yesterday as well. And also helped out today by some of the COVID beneficiaries, things like Harvey Norman up 3.3%, Domino's up 3.2%, Hello World 3.4% up, Webjet 3.4%, Flight Center 4.4%, even gambling, Aristocrat Leisure up 4.6%, Qantas up 2.7%. I see a comment, probably a casual comment from Roger Montgomery that got picked up in the newspapers saying that Qantas will pop 30 to 50% in a couple of days if we get a vaccine, and that all portfolios should have some exposure to that possibility. And he also mentioned some travel stocks. Anyway, the market behaving a little bit as though Australia has a vaccine, it has to be said. Travel stocks doing rather well, technology picking up. Otherwise, iron ore was down 2.5% overnight, and BHP and Rio are both up, but they are dragging their heels a little bit today. Banks are having a good recovery from yesterday. That sector prior to today had been down 9.2% in 10 days in September. Anyway, yesterday we made a few decisions. We gave up on our recovery hopes, recovery trade hopes. We had positioned ourselves in banks and energy stocks, some REITs, stocks that we thought would come back when the global economy recovered from the virus. But we have backed out of that trade now on this second winter wave in Europe, which presents a significant new global risk. Governments are being forced into action. But if you look at the measures imposed by the UK overnight and talk to my brother and his wife, both of whom are doctors in London, it's really rather laughable. To sum it up, their view is that the fines for not wearing masks or gathering in groups of more than six are non-existent and ignorable. I think they're only £200 as well. And that otherwise, Boris Johnson's relying on rhetoric rather than rules. He's asking the population to summon the discipline and resolve to obey the rules, or further measures will follow. While nobody's going to respond in London, if they're allowed out to the pub till 10 p.m. And this is going to make Dan Andrews look like a hero for pulling cases back down to, what are they today, 15, because clearly that's the sort of thing you have to do to get on top of cases. And telling people they can only go to the pub till 10 p.m. is going to do absolutely nothing. As my brother says, it is a medical joke to think that this sort of measure is going to pull in the virus. So we can expect this second wave to accelerate and not be contained. And the debate for the equity markets is whether governments have to take ever more significant lockdown measures, or whether we get a vaccine and whether they let it go. For the moment, we're taking this second wave a bit more seriously. We think this could develop. You've got almost 5,000 cases a day in the UK at the moment, and almost 30,000 cases a day in Europe as a whole. Some of the other countries have started to reimpose lockdowns as well. We've taken the view that this is going to accelerate, and without a vaccine, global growth expectations are going to have to be wound back again, in which case our recovery position or settings might have to wait too long to pay off. So we have backed out of some of our recovery trades, run up our cash. And in the strategy piece today, you'll see the growth portfolio with 34.7% cash. We've exited all the banks except Quarry. We've kept on our domestic travel trade. I sort of feel like Australia might actually do okay. So some of our domestic Australian stocks are probably going to survive on a basis relative to some of the international stocks. We've retained our healthcare holdings, which are reasonably defensive anyway. And we've still got an iron ore exposure, despite the fact we reduced weightings recently. We're still holding BHP and Rio and Fortescue. They're still cheap stocks. There's no real reason to sell them. They might have a bit of a blip as the iron ore price comes off, but they're still cheap stocks printing cash with decent yields as well. You'll also see in the strategy piece the income portfolio portfolio, having got rid of the banks. You may think that's radical in an income portfolio, but the truth is we have no dividends from the banks until November. NAB, ANZ and Westpac have got results coming up on November 5, October 29 and November 2nd, and no dividends till after those. So we can afford to just pick our moment to pick those banks up again for the dividends if we choose to come the results. We might even have to wait for the results. That would be the lowest risk option. Wait for NAB, ANZ and Westpac to report results, and then you can buy them for the dividends with a lot less risk than holding them now or buying them before results. Having sold the banks, the cash levels are very high, 59% now in our income portfolio. We're happy with that. In a market that's trending down, even though it's having a very good day today, in a market that's trending down, in the middle of what we call the dividend desert, which is this period between results seasons when there are no dividends payable, which of course is of no use to someone looking for income, cash is a good alternative whilst the market does this. And it's the lowest risk stance we could take for income investors. And we now have the flexibility to rebuild this portfolio as the dividends approach, when the market turns up, if a vaccine turns up. And we already have a list of stocks we want to buy for a more stable, long-term, more diversified income portfolio. But we're just going to now, or we can just now, stand back and time our re-entry into some of these income stocks before the next round of dividend comes along. And plus, being cashed up at the moment, we're going to avoid this month of election uncertainty. We're going to avoid the third wave uncertainty if it develops. So happy to be a bit cashed up at this point in time. Same thing in the growth portfolio. With 35% cash, we've got a long list of stocks, including technology stocks we'd like to get back into, and rotate the portfolio from a recovery play, which hasn't worked, into growth stocks. And we can now do that when we think the moment is right, when the market starts to pick up again, when this uncertainty is out of the way. That's about that on strategy. I have a section on the ETF portfolio today and have published the ETF portfolio. Gold's not been a good call so far. That's the GDX VanEck ETF, which exposes us to US gold miners. That hasn't gone well since we bought it, but HACK, which is cybersecurity, is doing well, and the FANG ETF's doing okay. Now, I've had a lot of suggestions about the ETF portfolio. Why don't you buy this? Why don't you buy this? All these clever little ETFs. We are not going to be buying a lot of different ETFs. I'm happy to write about some of the ETFs as education, but this is supposed to be a sleep at night portfolio, not a trading portfolio. We're not supposed to be responding to short-term market movements. We're not supposed to be disturbing investors every day or week. We're not trying to exploit moments in the market. We're just trying to capture a compounding long-term market uptrend. And if we saw a precipitous moment in the market, we might cash up. But in, as you'll see on the chart in the strategy piece today, in the last 20 years, the ASX 300 over the last 20 years has had 7 significant corrections, significant enough for us to want to exit or cash up. One of them, obviously, recently. The other one was October 2018, more recently. But we're not going to sell out and cash up every little movement in the market. At the moment, our market's just had a bit of a peak. I think it would be drawing a long bow to be suggesting that every top is a precipitous market moment. Don't see that at the moment. So not cashing up. So leaving the portfolio where it is. But today I have covered a ETF suggested by one of our members, the X20, which is a Better Shares ETF, which excludes the top 20 stocks. The idea is by excluding the top 20 stocks, you also get rid of this huge weighting towards financials and resources, which is the Australian way. You get rid of all the banks, which are dragging their heels at the moment. You are more focused on 180 stocks that have got less maturity, more growth potential, have already been through most of the hurdles that growth companies face, and are more diversified because they don't have these big weightings to financials and resources. Of course, the flip side to this is if you only invest in the top 180 stocks, excluding the top 20, then you exclude all the banks, Woolworths, Wesfarmers, Telstra, BHP and Rio. And those are some of the most common income stocks. So the the yield on the ETF drops from a 4.5% average plus franking to 2.9%. So the ETF won't work for income investors. And if you look at the performance, I've got a chart there of the performance of that ETF over the last 3 and a bit years since inception, and it hasn't been too fabulous, it has to be said. There is no golden bullet here. And I think what you have gained in relative performance from not holding the banks in this ETF, you've probably lost by not holding the resources stocks. Anyway, you can have a look at that in the strategy section today. Lastly, I have the usual technical observations. Go to the strategy piece for those. But to give you an idea of the main technical change in the last couple of days, there is a buy signal on the All Tech Index plus 4 other big tech stocks. There's also a buy on another sector, which is a long-term quality sector that was very popular coming out of COVID lows in March, has had a significant correction, is now bottoming. We'll probably be buying a few of those soon. And there are some sell signals as well. You can have a look at a couple of charts there. Right, that's about it. Plenty in the strategy piece today. Have a look at that, including a list of stocks to buy if the market falls over, which of course it isn't today. As I leave you, market up 96, that's 1.7%. Dow futures are up 59. NASDAQ futures are down. The roller coaster continues. You have a good day. I'll speak to you tomorrow.